Welcome to the Partial Durations podcast. I want you to imagine that you're lying awake on a hot summer's night. It's almost midnight, and it's still an unforgivable 28 degrees, and so much worse because there's 90% humidity. The fan is the only thing moving hot, thick air around, and you can't fall asleep. The only reprieve is the eventual sound of chimes singing from the upstairs apartment. The wind picks up. Soon you get the tapping of rain from the neighbor's tin roof. And not long after that, a torrential storm hits, with fierce winds and heavy rain. This is an experience that I think we've all had, and it's an experience that the composer Jacob Bragg has captured in Atmospheria. I've just been reading from some notes that Jacob has provided with his piece, a piece that he composed while studying and living in Brisbane. Jacob, thanks for joining me to discuss Atmospheria this week on the Partial Durations podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I really like the way that you've captured this still tension at the beginning of the piece. How did you produce this texture?
Well, it starts off with some very tight intervals. I've developed a kind of interval set of a minor second, minor third, major second. This was a bit of a map for me to keep to and keep playing with throughout the entire piece. So the opening has very tight intervals with staggered entry points. Every now and then, these little slight alterations in colour and attack, whether that be a little tremolo or a very quick crescendo. But overall, it's as you say, very static and creates a sense of stillness.
I like the idea that sometimes you need to do something for a long time in order for something else to have its effect. You couldn't start this piece with a storm, or at least it wouldn't be the same piece if it began with a storm. Instead, we have this long, contemplative, slightly uncomfortable sound that changes slightly, different instruments make slightly different variations on this basic set of pitches. For instance, soon we get a lovely warbling sound from the clarinets, from the woodwind, and it's as though the sound opens out. It becomes a little bit less complex. Is that right?
It strips right down to just three flutes, just in a very small interval of a major third, but still densely packed in and moving rather rapidly. But in that register, it creates this really breathy kind of sound. And then that's soon mimicked, like you mentioned, by the clarinets later on. There's a lot more space in this middle section not long after that opening.
The piece then goes from very quiet to almost silent, and what we're left with is just little trills in the strings. Though it seems to me that some of the tension is alleviated again. It's a slightly less dissonant sound, isn't it?
I've got these, again, this reiteration of this kind of cloud-like sound with the muted violas, and then these little trills and tremolos that follow on from it. It's also breaking out with the major third that I've insisted upon prior to that. So we're finally coming out to the fourth, and then eventually by the end, when you've got the cellos flowing in, it's up to a perfect fifth now. So you've got this much wider interval, which has, I think, helped alleviate the very tight intervals that were prior to the piece.
What are some other sounds you've made to represent this tense stillness?
Well, I think, like you mentioned about the storm, and I think it's something we always experience with much anticipation for an impending storm or even just some form of relief in one form or the other, is it seems time seems to stretch on. And I know certainly trying to fall asleep late at night when it's very humid or very hot, time definitely does stretch on, and you soon are listening to all kinds of different sounds that you hear at night, whether they be crickets or cars or maybe even just the movement of something outside. So for me, I was trying to replicate some of these sounds in this opening, allowing a lot of space in between certain ideas. So like I mentioned, we've got this kind of breathy woodwind section. Later on, I've got the strings playing behind the bridge. You get this squeaky, very soft, rapid sound, which might mimic an insect or something like that, maybe outside. And then even later, I have the brass and woodwind blowing through their instruments as well, which is only very subtle in the piece. But there's some of the other qualities I've tried to mimic.
It can be unbearable waiting for the rain to start, and I like it that you've even included a sound that's like something from the Psycho soundtrack. And I think this hints at this interesting title for the piece.
Absolutely. Atmospheria is a portmanteau of atmosphere and euphoria, which I think ties in well with my idea with the storm and particularly this anticipation for that storm to come. From a more musical perspective, which has played a very strong role in the constructing of my piece, it relates to Ligeti's atmospheres and Penderecki's polymorphia. So there is definitely a hint at Penderecki there, and also plenty of Ligeti's stacked sonorities.
As I said before, I think that sometimes you need this space before something else can truly take effect. What happens around the middle of the piece is such an ear opener. It's this constellation of sounds, a clashing, chiming sound. It almost sounds like Glockenspiel, but you said to me earlier that as a matter of fact, it's not an orchestral instrument. Let's listen to the sound now. So what is this instrument?
They're just wind chimes, actually. And I've been rather strict with my instructions on the score as to what type they must be. I've specified wind chimes are to be metal and of the suburban garden variety. So no orchestral wind chimes there.
That's right. They can sound a little bit tacky sometimes. Yes. So I'm glad that you've chosen the garden variety wind chimes.
Again, at that point, marks the point where pitch, in particular my preceding intervals that were very important with the construction of the piece, become less and less important. And as you hear with the bowed cymbal and the chimes, we're hearing more and more unpitched material. And eventually, as things get more and more chaotic, my intervals are no longer important at all, and nor is pitch really in that respect.
Listening to this piece, I feel like this transition from pitch being the main concern of the piece to timbre being the principal concern of the piece is what opens our ears. And it's as though a new sense awakens, particularly when you have this bowed cymbal. This high metallic sound is like the metallic smell of petrichor, that is, the smell of rain on dry earth. And what happens next is just as sensual. It's this great wave of strings. I can't even begin to imagine how you put this sound together.
Well, like you mentioned before, it's the anticipation that's half the charm, I think, with this. It's coming from that unpitched sound, the chimes and the bowed cymbal with the low rumble of the gong, to where we get this lone B flat in the low register of the strings, before then you get this very soft wave falling, this glissandi down of the lower strings to an E. So you have this tritone, the E and the B flat, just sitting there for a little bit before slowly, one by one, each string instrument comes in, each with their own individual line. So no one is quite lining up. And when you get every single person playing their own little fragment that I've written out, and to repeat that indefinitely, you get this massive wash of sound over four or five octaves. Yes, it's a big sound.
And where previously we were focusing on these very tight intervals or the more open perfect fifth, what is the pitch material that you're using for this amazing swarm of string sounds?
It's a mass cluster over, I think, 4 octaves.
Pitch is becoming less of a concern, so now the entire chromatic aggregate is available.
Absolutely. So when this a mass of strings come in, we've completely moved away from these tight intervals, and we've got this cluster over 4 odd octaves. Again, really alleviating the tension that was in the opening with these very strictly controlled intervals.
And as soon as it's come, it disappears, and we're left with a sound that is almost without pitch. We were talking about anticipation being the great motivating force of this piece, and sometimes it's good not to know what's going to happen in a piece. But in this case, I love knowing that a storm's about to come or that rain is coming, and I'm listening out for it. And so when it comes, it's all the more effective. And you've done it in this really lovely individual way. How does rain break in your piece?
Well, that's the thing, is as soon as you get this big wave of sound, before long, absolutely, it completely disappears, and we're left with these very percussive sounds. After this big strike of the high brass, you have indicated the wind and the string players to a various instructions, such as tapping their instrument, tapping their feet, striking the bow onto the stand, and even key clicks in the wind instruments. You get this variety of percussive tapping sounds, which very much calls to mind the sound of rain on an Australian tin roof.
And which orchestra is this that's performing it?
That's the Queensland Philharmonia Orchestra. They've been around for about 4 or so years, led by Matthew Schwartz. And they're an orchestra made up of a lot of young musicians, targeted around a kind of a quasi-community/student orchestra, but they're certainly making waves of their own, if you could excuse the pun.
Finally, we get a massive clash of percussion and brass, and this blaring brass, which I've never heard during a rainstorm myself, though perhaps I've never been in a Brisbane rainstorm where you do get brass blaring.
That's a good point. I've never heard that too in a rainstorm, but I suppose capturing that sheer intensity of the storms that we can get, but I think common to the tropics in Australia and much of the subtropics, particularly around Brisbane, where we get these massive tropical lows coming in towards the end of summer, and they're brief but intense. So that's very much the core of that last 2 minutes or so. It's only 2 minutes, but it's an intense 2 minutes.
It's a bit of a cliche, the rain piece, and usually it's pitter-pattering pointillistic piano, but yeah. In this case we have an absolute storm, but with all of that wonderful tension and anticipation leading up to it. And if you'd like to listen to this piece, you can go over to the Making Waves playlist. Making Waves is a monthly playlist of works by Australian composers, and you can find it at makingwavesnewmusic.com. Thank you also to Realtime for supporting Partial Durations and this podcast, and you can read more about contemporary art in Australia at realtimearts.net. And also don't forget to visit partialdurations.com for more reviews of contemporary music and podcasts. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Jacob, for joining me.
Thank you very much, Matthew.